Welcome to the Let's Talk Data podcast series presented by SAP, where we explore game-changing technology and strategies with leading experts with the goal of maximizing the value of data across your organization. If you haven't done so already, please follow or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite channel to stay tuned in.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our SAP Let's Talk Data podcast. Data strategy does not need to be overwhelming. My name is Corey Birkenes. I'm from SAP Product and Solution Marketing, and I'm going to be your host for today's podcast. So let me start off by introducing our speakers, both with an incredible amount of experience coaching companies and executives to developing effective enterprise data strategies. So first off, we have Maria Villar. She is the head of North America Data Strategy and Transformation at SAP. And then also joining us is Vinny Marici. He is a vice president of data engineering at Object Edge. And I hear, Vinny, that you just got off of a call coaching a company on data strategy itself,
yes,
correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's been a common theme, to say the least. Yeah.
Very, very cool. So welcome to the two of you. And if you're okay with it, let's just go ahead and get started. All right. So we know that data strategy is important, but at the same time, most strategies, they fail. Organizations, they tend to think that data strategy is scary. It's overwhelming. So what are the challenges that you're seeing? Why is data strategy stalling at some of these organizations? Maria, would you like to start?
Yeah, I would love to. And it's always great to have this podcast with Corey and Vinny. And this is one of my favorite topics, as you know, from my title. Look, I think if I was looking back at my presentation that I gave the MIT CDO IQ Symposium, and back in 2021, we were talking about data strategy and the importance of data strategy. And it was relatively a popular theme at that time in 2021, that having a data strategy was the way to be successful. And even then, there was only about 40% or even less of the companies, one surveyed, that said, yeah, they had a strategy, or if they had a strategy, it really wasn't effective. And so there was a concerted effort, I think, for a couple of years. But what I've seen happen, and Vinny, I'd love your thoughts on this as well, is as companies started to get more involved in actually doing a strategy, they, one, realized it was hard, that the best data strategies had to be business outcome driven. I'd done a whole masterclass on that. And being business outcome driven means you have to understand the business strategy. You have to get the business involved. And there's always been, you know, some amount of resistance to that, and talking the business language is not something that we as data people do. So, you know, part of the I think stalling is because it's hard, because there's also this fear that, oh, I have to get a consultant involved. I don't know how to do one, and that it has to be 50 pages long, and hence I don't know where to start.
Absolutely. And I mean, even if we take a step back, the biggest problem, and us in the data field know this, right? One of the biggest problems with data in of itself is it can be so esoteric. So all of a sudden, you have organizations who recognize, hey, yeah, I need to have a data strategy within my organization. Everybody I talk to, every consultant I talk to, every conference I go to says data is the thing I should be focused on. And then, you know, they say, we're going to do a data strategy. It's not really focused in, just like you said, Maria, on some sort of business outcome or accentuating a business value or mission statement that I have within the organization. Instead, it's this really, maybe the best word is bloated, type of strategy on every single possible thing that I can look at within the organization when it comes to data. And data by its nature is this massive thing, this behemoth within the org. And I think part of the problem when you build out these, let's call them legacy data strategies, is you really don't even know where to start. You don't know what's going to provide the biggest impact, and you've kind of just, you know, thrown darts against the wall trying to figure out what you should do. And if you tie it to a business outcome, or you tie it to some sort of corporate vision and how to accelerate or accentuate that corporate vision, I think all of a sudden you then start anchoring it to something that's going to give you higher value. It's going to allow you to say, okay, this is how long it's going to take. This is how much it's going to cost me to get it done. This is kind of the change management that I have to be aware of. Whereas the opposite end of it is, you know, the cost, the time, the change management is almost an unknown once you deliver that sort of data strategy.
You know, I've seen some of my customers actually say, oh, sorry, Corey, let me just sort of add to as well. Some of my customers have actually said they started on a path of a data strategy, and then they've had their manager actually stop them. That the management team thinks, well, now we don't really need a data strategy. Mm-hmm. What we need is just put some use cases together and go make something happen. So this word strategy, I think, almost has become a bit of a it's like governance, right? So it's a word that people shy away from, where I look at strategy and say, look, a strategy is a point of view. A strategy is an end state. A strategy is a communication document and a management tool. And you just don't, it's not just a document. It really is something that you use to make working decisions. And so it's necessary, but doesn't have to be huge.
Exactly. It's a guiding light, right? Because then what you should be doing is going that next level down, because your strategy is probably going to be multi-pronged, right? It's going to be a bunch of components there, and you want to figure out, okay, what is the next level that I go deeper, that I want to now hit on? And then you have, Maria, you're absolutely right. Like you talk about things like data governance, and all of a sudden the lights dim and people get a little bit nervous and they're like, this is just going to make my life harder, my work life harder. And that's what people get fearful of, when in reality, it really should be the opposite of that. The whole point of governance should be to make people's lives easier. Their working lives should be better, and the business value out of it should be so much richer. Like, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit within organizations, and that's where it goes back to, you know, where do I even focus in on? You've got organizations that they don't even know how to pull their global sales data or to dissect it in any sort of meaningful way, because even things as maybe simplistic to say, like sales data, is not organized in a way that I can slice and dice, or maybe I just get it way too macro level information as opposed to some of those micro level pieces of information. And so building out a plan to solve that is one area of data strategy, and there are all these other components or other areas that we can then focus in on.
So this idea of like the business outcome focus of a data strategy, Maria, can you explain that a little bit more and maybe give our audience a few examples of what that really looks like?
So a business outcome is really a goal. It's something that is measurable that you can say, for example, there are financial business outcomes. I want to be able to close my books in 24 hours. I want to improve my cost margins by 50%. That's a stretch. I want to improve my customer experience and customer loyalty, or, you know, customer wallet. So they're measurable outcomes. And you can have an outcome that is financial. You could have an operational outcome, which is a lot of what digital transformation is all about. You can have a customer outcome. You can have a market outcome. So it is those end states from a business perspective, and usually from a business process perspective, but they can be measurable. And because data is the language of process, knowing exactly how you take that business outcome and dissect it to the business process that has to change, and then the data that has to be enabled in order to reach that outcome, that's the business outcome data strategy, right? If you sort of add the data strategy part to it. And it, in my mind, look, I've been doing this for 30 years. And once I started to really get that business outcome talk and requirements into my strategy, I became a lot more successful with my business stakeholders, because I was talking their language, not talking the data language.
Yeah. Data for the sake of data doesn't actually get a business anywhere, even something like automation for the sake of automation. I have a client that we're working with where there's a real life problem, right? We know that there is a labor shortage globally, and especially in the United States, for example. So they wanted to figure out, okay, how do we solve for the fact that we have massive labor shortages within our warehouse? So we're talking about like industrial distribution in that case. Well, that is now some sort of business objective that I can tie an automation solution or solutions that may stem from data and how I, as a consultant trying to help out these organizations, can relate some sort of data solution to an actual and meaningful outcome. And in their case, it was, hey, I have this massive labor shortage. I am worried about my supply chain issues of getting products to my customers. What are some of the ways that we can solve for it? Or in customer services, it's another area where there's a massive amount of labor shortage. How do we reduce call center calls? Or how do we make call center calls more effective for the user? Because that will directly relate to an NPS score, for example.
Yeah, I have this crazy idea, and maybe someday I can see it come to realization. But if you have a business outcome data strategy, then why do you need a business case, frankly? Because what you're doing is you're tying a business outcome that has a business case and the data that you need to make that outcome. So why have a separate business case for that? It really should be included in the business outcome business case as an important enabler.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. These, when we talk about things like data, or we talk about what's really hot right now in terms of AI and doing all of these things within AI within an organization, people are talking about it like it's its own area of the company, whereas it should just be a component of any business outcome or thing that you're trying to achieve, whether it's for additional revenue generation, whether it's for better operational efficiencies, whether it's for more tactical things like reducing returns, like creating better customer service, like for understanding, you know, mining or areas in oil and gas where I'm trying to figure out better ways of understanding the land where I'm sitting at. There's so many areas of examples where let's focus on what you're trying to do, understand that things like data or AI are critical components to make sure you get to that business objective, and then build that into the solution itself.
And actually, what I'm seeing now that you're on the AI topic, yeah, finally we got to the AI topic, right?
You have to.
15 minutes into our discussion, yeah. Right? What I am seeing, though, is that this AI, generative AI, and having an AI strategy has caused many companies to relook at their data strategy. So I do think it's kind of been a trigger to reevaluate the data strategy. And if you didn't have one, you are in a worse situation, because as you said, Vinny, it's really about taking the outcomes that you want to achieve in your company and then saying, okay, so how does AI help me achieve those outcomes? Those are the use cases that I see from my customers that are the ones that are winning the day. Sure, there's lots of lofty things you can do with AI, but more and more this year in particular, it's about, okay, well, how does it bring value? And it brings value through the business outcomes. But what I also like about the AI movement, let's say, is that this time around, those that are involved, the data folks, the analytic folks, and even the AI folks, they're all saying the same thing. You need a solid data foundation in order to do proper ethical AI. So it is also a reason to have a foundational data strategy that then you can augment AI with.
Absolutely. Talk about putting the cart in front of the horse. You have so many people that just see this bright and shiny thing that is AI. And keep in mind, we're at the infancy stage of how it's even going to manifest itself in the long run. And people need to take a deep breath. They need to take a step back and they need to understand, hey, yes, this is great. These large language models, these agents that can essentially AI working with other AI to solve various things, to automate various things. If you don't have a foundation of good, properly managed and structured and defined data, and data that is secure in a way that's almost bottled up or created of a wall in between the large language models and the enterprise data itself, you're going to have a bad time, whether that's privacy concerns, whether it's just these types of outcomes not really manifesting in the way that you think it's going to look like on paper. There are a lot of reasons why this is almost forcing organizations, or you'd want to force yourself as an organization, to double down on a really solid data strategy. Yes, you're going to be now integrating various modern tool sets and things that we're seeing in generative AI, but if you don't have that solid foundation of data within the organization, you're putting yourself out there in a way that, you know, you may not even realize is a risk until it's a few years down the line.
So on this idea of foundations, let me kind of shift a little bit, but definitely connection here, is focusing in on the topic of master data management and data governance. So I often hear the idea of doing MDM for the purpose of doing MDM. We need to implement master data management. We need data governance. I'd just like your guys' thoughts about if it's not that you just need to do MDM, you need a reason to do it. When is it justified for an organization, and how can it be justified to the business?
Vinny, I'll let you take that one first.
Yeah, I mean, MDM is, even in terms of my background, that's really where I cut my teeth. I'm a bit biased when it comes to master data management, because I honestly believe that to get to this promised land of a really high sustainable growth enterprise organization, you want to be this data-driven company. You want to be able to do all of these things to really leverage data, selling, acquiring, spinning off. Anything that you want to do at a business needs to fundamentally be created through good, clean, and structured data, whether that is product information data, whether that's information around your customer, whether that's location data, whether that's vendor data. To structure all of this into a primed golden record allows me to do so much within the business. And when we talk about business outcomes, a lot of it ties back to that. Let's say we look at consolidation industries where a lot of companies are going through mergers and acquisitions. All of a sudden, my playbook of acquiring organizations, it gets a lot cleaner in terms of, hey, I'm telling my shareholders 1 + 1 is going to equal 3, right? When I go in, I buy an organization and I'm able to do that, and I'm able to create the economies of scale, and I'm able to assimilate all of that if I have really good master data management design, so that customer information and product information and vendor information can create those economies of scale. Or if I look at the ability to dissect how I want to go after my customers, something that's really hot in the industry that's not, you know, outside of the AI component, which is, you know, a hot topic for everybody, something called time series forecasting is very important. It's about micro trends within your industry. Industries that do it really well, the hotel industry, the airline industry, they know exactly when spring break is coming, right? And they'll increase prices to accommodate for the demand. Other industries don't do this well at all. We don't understand where certain trends are hitting during certain times of the years in something like industrial distribution or in certain retail environments, other than we know fourth quarter is going to be really great for the holiday. So to maximize those types of things, I need to understand my customers, and I need to understand my products and all the transactions going against them in a really, really clean and governed way. And we talk about building that foundation through master data management, understanding the lineage of my data, understanding how it comes through all of my systems, and who it's syndicating downstream, whether it's my internal business team members or whether it's customers experiencing that data from their point of view as a customer.
I think what I would add to that would be that, you know, I consider master data management, data governance, and data quality the classics, right? And yep. And the classics don't go away, but the classics do have to change and modernize. I see it happening in master data management. So instead of having sort of a rigid on-prem master data management infrastructure, now we see distributed master data management, where master data fields could be in multiple places, right? And but where you need one semantic, you know, one data layer on the top that kind of unifies it. You also see data products, and so we need to adjust master data for this idea of a data product. How much of master data is a data product, or is it a subset? So I think master data has to also kind of adjust to the changing infrastructure and demand, but it's never the need to have master data and to have certain fields be governed in an enterprise way with some rigor and standards are not going to go away. The same with governance. I'm not a fan of the word governance unless it's in a regulated industry or in areas in government, maybe in health. But I do believe governance. I like the word trust, and I do believe governance allows for trust. And so how do you have, you need a trusting environment, you need an ethical environment that's done through governance and through quality. So I do think some of these classics are being incorporated into some higher order set of data management capabilities, and they should be, but they don't go away. And if you look at the numbers, Corey, you probably know the numbers better than we do. I mean, master data management, data governance, those are the top items that we sell at SAP and that our customers tell us are important. So the classics will never go away, but I challenge those technologies to modernize also, and those, you know, those thought processes, those procedures to modernize and enable the new capabilities as well.
Totally agree. Yeah, that modernization has got to take place, because it's not, I don't want to simplify it, but old school MDM, where it was just about, hey, data lineage, survivorship, building out that golden record, that still needs to be there. But we expand on that, whereby, Maria, you're hitting it on the head. This is still a very important topic for a lot of organizations, especially in things like traceability and compliance. So you've got a model by which I need to understand where my batteries are coming from, where my raw materials of batteries are coming from, because this might directly correlate to a tax break or to some sort of regulation that I need to adhere to. So when you look at things like California standards or in Quebec or in the EU, to take hold of that and to actually understand that, I was working with a client where they're actually not selling 20% of their products in Canada or in EU or in California, not because they're not compliant, but because they're not even sure if they're not compliant. They could be, but they don't even have enough insights into their own PLM, into their own process of figuring out if they're compliant with the ever-changing realities. And I think that is a big factor for people to start really, really governing their data and process.
So two comments on this is the additional sustainability data and the importance that's playing in the market and the need for master data management and data governance in that context. And then secondly, is when I'm looking at the chief data and analytics officer surveys in the area of analytics, and not only, you know, with like business processes, but get just to data and analytics, right? Data governance and master data management and the need for it and the immaturity of it is one of the top areas to address. As they are the classics, they're also immature. They haven't hit that maturity curve yet.
Can I comment on that? Because I think governance for analytics is a little different than governance of master data. And this is where governance has to be taken in its principal case, which is, what do you want to govern in the analytics side? It's going to be more than the master data. And you got to also be kind of flexible to say, what is fit for purpose mean, which is really what a lot of us think about when we talk about data quality or governance, is, you know, fit for purpose, fit for legislation. But it's also kind of fit for risk and fit for trust. And those are new areas. So I also believe that when we answer that question, when you ask experts to answer that question, it's that they have to also think about these new nuances to governance. That's why I like to call it, I mean, I think we're moving from classic governance to smart governance, which means you have to be, it has to be flexible, it has to be adaptable, it has to be automated. There's no way you can handle the amount of data that is coming in an infrastructure, especially now with AI, without a tremendous amount of automation and even AI to manage, you know, some of this. So it is changing a lot. And I think that is part of how the analytics side answers that question.
Yes, I love that. I love the idea of agile data governance as the way to modernization. That's good. Vinny?
Yeah, and part of what we are starting to institute more and more often in terms of how we're guiding organizations trying to deal with this and trying to build governance within the organization is, back in the day, we would always suggest, hey, let's build a governance council, which is in essence, you know, executives across the business locking arm in arm and saying, okay, this is the direction we want to move. And then all of a sudden that goes down into the accountability teams, right? Of who's going to be accountable for what part. And unfortunately, what we see more and more often is that, you know, no one wants to necessarily take accountability for the data. That whole measure of, should IT be in charge of the data itself or should business be in charge of data itself? It's really a dotted line in between. And what we see more and more often is building out a group of data stewards within an organization. So those are the folks that get to be responsible for data governance and being able to adapt to the various things that are occurring in their industry or where they're taking part in terms of their business throughout the world and managing things like sustainability requirements or compliance requirements or traceability requirements, because we can't be at a place that just says, hey, I just have these global rules for how I govern data. You do need to look at the fit for how governance is going to take its hand for different areas and different use cases and different business needs for how you're going to govern it. And so what we've been recommending is building out this faction of a team within a business that says, we are the data stewards. We are the ones that help define what those definitions are going to be. And then those entering the data or managing the data are going to be the custodians of it that help bring that to life or that help manage the actual governance of it itself.
Could I just make one add to that, Vinny, as you talk to your customers, is I would not use the word data steward as a title. I like to call them data leaders or data managers, because I think the steward word is first passive. And secondly, business people would like to put this stuff on a resume. And so while it's an industry term, and I know it's the industry term, and I get a lot of comments about that, I found it to be more successful when I use the word data leader, because really what you want is a leader that has a team and is driving standards and driving the transformation. And a steward just kind of sounds a little bit more passive. That would be the 30 years of having done it has taught me is that some of these titles are not that attractive to business.
You know, I like that advice, because you're absolutely right. Because when you talk about being a data steward, it almost seems like it's just this doer position. I'm like, no. This is an extraordinarily elevated position within an organization. You have the keys to a lot of different things within the business, and you are here leveraging your expertise not only in the business itself, but in areas of data and data governance. And I like to tie it back to things like library sciences. Like, there are skill sets, soft skill sets, that make for a true data leader within an organization. You're right. Like, the typical term is, hey, I'm going to be a data steward within the org. And maybe I'll change that to data leader. I like that suggestion a lot.
Yeah, I wish I would have caught that term way early, because it is out there, but yeah. I don't think it gives it justice.
So since we're on the topic of people and data leaders, and let's close with this last question, and I'd like both of your perspective on it, maybe a few comments. So focusing in on the people, Let's talk about a little bit about executive level support, organizational capabilities in support of a data strategy, in support of your data governance initiatives. Talk about, give me some thoughts on that. Maria, would you start?
Oh boy, one word, very hard, very difficult, but necessary, right? You have to have that executive air cover to do the work of data transformation. Can you do a lot of work from the middle? Sure. I mean, there's good data quality, there's good hygiene work, there's good infrastructure work. But if you want to be transformational, then you're going to have the air cover to make the hard decisions and make the trade-offs and get groups to do the work and stand up to do their data leadership work. And that's why you need the executive commitment. But we have a role in this, and our role is that we need to walk the business talk. You know, we have to talk the business talk and show them the correlation of data to outcomes. And when you do that, they come along.
Yeah, I think that especially if you look at organizations as they grow in revenue, right? Just by the nature of growing and being successful, all of a sudden you're going to start having your silos, right? You're going to have your silos of cost centers. You're going to have your silos of different areas of the business. Regionality comes into play on how they're running independently. So if it's not at the executive level, you're never truly going to have enterprise data strategy or enterprise data governance. You're going to have BU strategies, right? Or maybe specific areas of the organization that have really great and defined data strategies, but it's not going to ever elevate itself to being a true corporate initiative to help accelerate those business outcomes. The only other thing I would add is don't accidentally, and I say the word accidentally on purpose because I don't think anybody ever realizes it until after the fact, is don't accidentally create some sort of lame duck position. I think a chief data officer, for example, is very important. But if chief data officer without any actual ownership of budget or a team or an ability to action over a data strategy, that can halt it from the very beginning. I think a lot of the times you get C-level type of titles within a business to own data, but then there's never the actual commitment below that to give them a team or a budget to go in and execute. And then we kind of stall in what we're going to be doing at an enterprise level with what we see as a data vision.
Oh,
I don't
my
know
gosh.
If you agree with that or not,
oh,
Maria. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I'm clapping internally here. I'm clapping because it's exactly what I see as well. And what I advise, you know, the data leaders that I coach is if you are interviewing for your new position and that position has no budget and no people, I would really steer away from it. I probably tell them run as fast as you can away from the job. But the reality is what's even harder is if you do take the job, and then you have to tin cup your way around, because tin cupping your way and asking for funding based on projects, it's so difficult, especially when you get started, and especially if you're working on something that's at an enterprise level where everybody benefits, but no one wants to pay. So yeah, I do believe you're right. This is not just a figurehead position. This is a position that needs authority and that needs budget and that needs at least a critical mass of people to get it done. Does it need to be a huge team? I mean, I've seen small teams of five people in large organizations do phenomenal things. So I don't think it has to be hundreds of people or tens of people. You can start off with a small team as long as you have that buy-in and the commitment from the organization to step up and do their work. But it is a really important part of a data transformation. Corey, so that's a great question. And it's the one, if you ask data leaders, is the most difficult to do. And that's why I come back to the data strategy point to kind of close up, because the data strategy is a way to communicate value to give you a North Star and to kind of guide you in your communication with your executives. And I've always lived by the motto that reasonable people come to reasonable conclusions when given the facts. And so, and that's business people, that's everyone. So giving them those facts in a data strategy starts to bring them along.
So I want to thank you so very much, Maria, and thank you, Vinny, for sharing your thoughts, for sharing your experiences as well. And I want to thank everyone for listening to our SAP Let's Talk Data podcast, where we are discussing data strategy. It does not have to be overwhelming. And I would like to encourage everyone listening to take a look at the additional resources. Those can be found in the notes, the comments. In particular, there's a data strategy masterclass. It's a set of 12 videos along with the data strategy workbook that you can work along with those episodes, those videos. So those are available. And then also, please share your comments. We'd like to hear from you. And of course, subscribe to the series to stay tuned for new episodes, as well as get caught up on those ones you might have missed. So thanks again, and be well, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Check out the show notes for additional links to information. And please subscribe or follow to join us on the next episode of Let's Talk Data, presented by SAP.